Hi everyone, how are we doing? It's Sunday night and we've got another video for you today in 67 Hail Hail and plenty to chat about. We can speak about yesterday's 4-0 victory over Ross County, all the stuff that happened during that game, the atmosphere, etc. We've also got the audio that was promised from yesterday's post-match press conference, Ange Postecoglou, Carol Starfelt, etc. We've got John on the channel as well and we've got Stevie on his birthday.
Happy birthday, Stevie.
I'll be honest, I've been planning on singing happy birthday all day and the nerves have got to me. The nerves have got to me, lads. I can't do it because I know John would leave me hanging to dry.
Yeah, of course. I don't want a Yaya Toure birthday cake situation, but I'm not singing happy birthday, Stevie.
Yeah.
47 today, Stevie.
Right, that's a listen. It's been good to be on the channel, but I'll see you later. No, thank you. Your compliment was sufficient, Hamish.
Have you had a good day?
I have had a great day, yes. Other than, obviously, you know, Mark McGee not being able to deliver through in Dundee and the unfortunate incident at the F1 with Red Bull. But other than that, it's been great. Enjoyed my pasta and enjoyed my cake. So, aye. And I'm enjoying being on with two wonderful gentlemen.
Wouldn't go that far, but I appreate it, mate.
Sorry, I was actually on about John, but anyway, Hamish.
It is your birthday, so you get to make a wish, but don't tell us. Just think of something right now. And hopefully we're all thinking of the same thing here and hopefully you're going to do us a turn. So on yesterday, John, what did you make of the game? I mean, brilliant day, sun was shining, atmosphere was brilliant. I'm actually not as kind of burnt as I thought I would be.
Yeah, wonderful day. Could have been a wonderful weekend, but it's good enough as it is. Celtic winning 4-0. You know, just on Stevie's wish, I hope it wasn't that Bruno Alves to play for Celtic one day. but... On yesterday, it was a fantastic result, fantastic performance. Celtic were flying, the fans were in full voice, Ange was in top form after the game. There was only positives for me. And as I said, you know, yesterday was very relaxed. And I know, and I don't want to make the fifth dig of the night at Stevie already, but Stevie was pretty nervous about that game yesterday. And it was a stroll in the park and everyone just needs to relax, just calm down a little bit. Celtic have got this. You know, we're all good. We're on the one road, as I say. And I'm pretty pleased with the direction everything's heading in.
Let's just dig into to where the nerves came from yesterday, Stevie. Talk us through it.
I don't want to blame you or anything, Hamish, but it was all down to you by your video and on Twitter when you were saying that Ross County are going to be a tough test. They are the best of the rest. And just me in general with Celtic now, I'm an overthinker. Now, I've learned a lot after the Livingston game. I was on here with John basically saying I was going to relax a bit because I probably did go a wee bit overboard in general after Easter Road. I don't want to bring that up again. But the Livingston game did convince me that I've got to start trusting the manager and the team more. Just to reiterate, this wasn't me being nervous at Ange or the team. I've got full confidence in us. It was just like at this stage of the season before and all that, when it's these tense title races, it's because it's so neck and neck. It's going to go right down to the wire, and that was why I was just like, are we going to eventually get the win, but is it going to be like a scrappy last minute or? And when I saw as well who the referee was, which I'm sure we'll get into later, Donald Robertson himself, I'm like, there's always something with that guy, and I'm just delighted.
That penalty decision was horrendous, wasn't it? The fact honestly, you didn't get that penalty.
Ridiculous, totally ridiculous. And I know Celtic did so well to recover from that without even needing to blame the ref. That's just me. But a lot of it was just because, you know, Ross County had been on good form, Hamish, and I'm just thinking, are they going to continue that at Celtic Park, despite the overwhelming odds against them, despite how good we've been playing, despite how focused we are? It's football, and as we've seen this season, in various leagues, anything can happen, and I'm just getting into every game now because it's so neck and neck. A wee bit jittery, just at the occasion, but not at the team, not at the fans, not at the manager, who I fully trust. It's just, it's football, isn't it?
Lord knows how you'll feel going into the Ibrox game, Stevie, but I agree. I mean, it's a tense season. It's the closest season for ages, for a decade. So I think fans have quite right to feel a little bit nervous about things, but... yeah, the team just keep getting on with it. They don't seem fazed by it, which is, you know, what I take heart to. Fans are fans. They're going to get excited. They're going to get nervous. But the team themselves, it just seems to be business as usual at the moment. And I think the performances against United and the performance against Ross County yesterday were real signifiers that this team aren't really fazed by all the noise around them at the moment, because there is so much noise. I'm just getting asked about Rangers every single press conference. The players are as well. You know, everyone knows they're doing all right in Europe. There was a lot of kind of, you know, the narrative shifts and the momentum shifts from a day-to-day basis at the moment, and Celtic just keep answering the questions that they need to answer. So that's why I'm so happy at the moment.
You get the impression with this Celtic squad at the moment that they are really focused on the task at hand, and the task is, I say it's simple. It's simple in one way, just keep winning matches. I mean, there's been a lot of chat about how tight this title race is and how it might go down to the final game of the season. We've got an opportunity over the next few games to effectively take this away from Rangers. That's the big way I'm looking at it, you know, from a positive stance in terms of us. Obviously, conversely, they could fight back in the title race. I was basically doing the maths last night, and people probably won't thank me for saying this, but effectively, if we win our next four games, you know, the league's done, given that two of them are going to be derbies. You know, I know that's maybe, you know, me being really optimistic.
Are you using Paul Fisher's calculator there? Seriously,
that was a shambles. I mean, it's optimistic, but come on. I mean, Celtic can beat Rangers at Ibrox, and we saw what happened the last time at Celtic Park. Celtic have a chance over the next month to win this league before getting to, like, the last three matches of the season. Am I wrong, guys? Come on.
I mean, my expectation has, you know, since late last year, is that this title race is going to go down to the final day somehow. You know, Celtic could, you know, win every game, you know, over the next month or so and smash it. But I've just got a feeling, you know, either something's going to go wrong at Ibrox or something might slip up in another game. And I think this is going to go down to the last day, either way, regardless of what happens. I mean, but this is why I'm feeling quite chilled about the situation, and especially the Ibrox game. You know, as Stevie said on Twitter earlier, regardless of what happens at Ibrox, you know, barring a catastrophic 7-0 defeat, you know, regardless of what happens at Ibrox, we're going to come out of there leading the Scottish Premiership. And when you think back to the winter break, and we were 6 points behind, if you'd said to anyone during January or the winter break that Celtic were going to come out of this Ibrox game in April leading the Scottish Premiership, regardless of what happens in that match, you would have bitten their hand off. And we came back from that 6-point deficit. You know, we're 3 points ahead at the moment. Celtic are the team to beat, and it doesn't really matter what they do. But yeah, I agree, we could wrap up over the next few games, but I've just got a suspicion it's going to go down to the last game. And I would take that. Given from where we were this time last year, I think that's a good kind of sign that Celtic are on the up, regardless of what happens in the last seven games.
Yeah, Stevie, do we feel like we've got total belief in this team to, and I know this might be too early to use this phrase, but to get over the line?
I do. As I say, I completely trust the manager and his team. The key word that we've been using in the last few weeks has been focus, and I have no doubt at all that the manager and the team are fully focused on the one game at a time sort of mentality. I don't think for a second that it's just buzzwords with Ange. I think he is clear in what he says, and he's been honest about it, that it is just a case of focusing on Celtic, getting the 3 points, and whatever happens elsewhere, it will take care of itself, and it's all just about us. And I get the impression the players are right on board with that as well. If these players start, I mean, look at where they came from and the pressures they faced when they first came in, and then when you look at them now, I mean, how they've grown over the last few months and everything, and when you look at, you know, the opportunity for them after the start that they've all had to now get into this stage of the season, and it's all in their hands. I mean, it's down to them now. It doesn't matter what happens elsewhere. We can't rely on, like, and I think the players will know that, all right, what happened a few weeks ago with Motherwell was a bonus, but the reality is, it's all about what we do. And I think the players will just begin into games assuming that Rangers are going to be winning anytime. They're not going to get any favours for anyone, and that's where the focus thing comes in. It's all about what we do and improving. Like, so I think when I look back on it, what happened at Easter Road, it actually could have turned out to be a good thing in the end, because ever since then, the players have just been, you know, they've obviously taken it pretty personal. It's like the Michael Jordan bit. It really has. It's like the criticism that got to them and everything. They've almost been more fired up by that. And when they went to Livingston after it, I mean, that was a game that easily could have backfired for us. Everybody was all thinking. I remember John was talking about it on the channel. Like, the players were definitely up for that one. They knew the importance of it. And when you saw their attitude for it, I was like, yeah, they've definitely got over that Easter Road result. And I think they're going to continue to, no matter what challenges are ahead. I really do have total confidence that the manager's going to set us up as best as possible for these remaining games. 7 cup finals, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel as well. I would just love to do it as soon as possible. I know that's been so greedy. I take everything John has to say, you know, into account. We should be delighted to be here. Listen, if we went back to, remember we did that video, John, the day before that Hibs game, you know, after the winter break. And I remember us both saying, you know, we want Celtic to win this league, but if we're honest, you know, this is probably in Rangers' favour at the moment, maybe like 55, 45, something like that. I think now it's firmly, that was a bad set of numbers to use, wasn't it, in this country? But I think now we'd agree that Celtic are you know, big favourites for this, and we're in a good position. I want to get some of your comments in. A guy after my own heart, Johnny O'Connor. Chill, boys, I really can't see them laying a glove in this Celtic team. Celtic to win it by 9. I wonder if that's points or goals. I'm going to say he's talking about points, and I'm very happy with that. Tom Messi, any relation? I don't know. John, one game at a time. Hamish, it's in the bag, get the M&Ms. That pretty much sums us up. Lots of people saying, you know, huge chance to beat Rangers at Ibrox. Anthony saying, really uncomfortable win yesterday by the boys, Hamish, but I have to say the red card was never a bad tackle. Any thoughts on that, guys?
No, I mean, for me, that was a blatant red. And a lot of people have said a lot of things about it, but Don Robertson did wind me up yesterday, and I actually thought the challenge from Ramsey on Maeda, you know, just minutes before that, when he was kind of high in his hip, that was a blatant yellow card. And I think if he'd given that yellow card, then Ramsey wouldn't have gone in so hard on Rogic. And Rogic is the unfortunate one because he's picked up an ankle injury, had ice on his ankle at halftime yesterday. I don't think they think it's too bad, and he's still going to go off with Australia. But Don Robertson is the only referee that Ange Postecoglou has criticised this season. I think he criticised them after United, he criticised them after Aloha, for failure to protect players. And again, I just think that's Don Robertson's big problem. You know, Scottish referees have a variety of problems, but for Don Robertson, he just doesn't seem to ever have control of a game, and that's my big problem with him.
I think facial hair was a problem for today's referee, wasn't it?
It's a problem for a lot of us, Amish.
I think Don Robertson enabled that yesterday as well. That was my big problem, because when he let Ramsey off with the first tackle, there was no caution, nothing. It was almost as if it was fair game for him to go and do that again. Now, I think that from looking at the replays, the one on Rogic, I would deem as a sending off on that, maybe slightly harsh on it. But see, the first tackle on Maeda, in my opinion, that was a red. I know John was saying yellow. I think that was a shocker. And Robertson just let it go. So if you want to turn around and say it might have been a harsh sending off, he should have been off like 10 minutes beforehand. So it evens itself out, in my opinion.
Shall we hear what Carol Starfelt had to say after the game yesterday? Because he was the player Celtic put up. A little bit surprised with that. I thought Giakoumakis would have been the player. I know he did Celtic TV. But this is what Carol Starfelt makes of where Celtic are at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like we're getting stronger. And that was our hope as well. We will need to be very strong here the last games. So I feel like we have many players in good form. I feel like physically also we're taking steps and getting stronger and stronger. Yeah, it's looking good. Today we took another step and played a little bit better than we've done even recent games. Today everything was really good. So I hope we can keep build on that. Now we have 2 weeks of training, and then we go for the last 7 games or whatever it is.
When you signed for Celtic, one of your press conferences, you spoke about the importance of the Swedish national team. Big congratulations in your call-up lately. How are you feeling about that over the next couple of weeks here, and obviously what that will bring to yourself there?
Yeah, thank you. Like you said, it's one of my goals to go with the national team, and it's always a big honor to be there. It's for me at least, it's one of the biggest things you can do as a player to play for your country, and now also it's two very big game, at least one first one very big game, and if we win this, another one. So now it's a lot on stake, but I'm used to that now here in Celtic. So I feel also like I come in what do you say, comfortable with my own performance, come in good form. So I hope I can come there and contribute.
Carol, you're playing really well at the moment. The one thing perhaps that's missing is a goal. You've not scored yet. You had a header today. Are you getting closer, do you think?
Yeah, I hope so. I've had some opportunities, like you say. Yeah, it was pretty close against Livingston, for example, with a good save. But I think it's not important that I score goals. Right now, we score goals from set pieces, which is the most important thing. Then, if it's me or someone else who scores, I don't really care. But we're scoring goals from set pieces, and that's I think that's good.
Did you feel it was important to put pressure on Rangers ahead of Timor? When you're now 6 points clear, you've improved your goal difference.
No, we're not thinking about Rangers. We know it's 7 games left for us. We know we have everything in our own hands. So we're just focusing one game by game, and we're not looking at them.
I suppose it's as straightforward as that. You win your final 7 games, you're champions.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that final response. Just yeah, exactly. He was great again yesterday, guys, wasn't he?
Yeah, this is very professional, isn't it? This is like a Radio Clyde show. Yeah, but I'm not worried, like, is it? That makes me worried him a bit. I'm the Hugh Keevans of this scenario, but and on the Carr Starfield thing, yeah, I mean I think he's playing very well at the moment, and he gets a lot of stick, and he's had a lot of stick, and you know, some of it's been justified. I wouldn't say Carl Starfield is a perfect defender by any means, and there's certainly been a couple of ropey games this season, but I think by this point he's had more good games than bad, and he's put, you know, a few performances together that are pretty good. I thought yesterday he moved the ball well, not just to Carter Vickers, but even in the early stages, I think he was passing it forward more.
He's
to
good
the wings
down to the left-hand side, isn't
he? Yeah. But passing it forward more, and I think both the defenders need to do that better, Carter Vickers and Starfelt. But again, you know, we've said it millions of times, and Ange said it, that kind of thing takes time. So I'm pretty happy with Starfelt. You know, he's getting better speaking with the media as well, and you know, he knows. Everyone at Celtic knows. And actually, I think probably the reason that Giakoumakis wasn't put up in front of the media was because last time he did, he was pronouncing that Celtic were going to win the title. So
good point.
Perhaps Starfelt's just a bit more measured than that and can field questions on that kind of thing a bit better.
That's a good point. It didn't even cross my mind. I saw someone saying Giakoumakis had done an interview somewhere last week and he'd been far kind of more reserved and, you know, looking at the big picture. So I think someone had a wee word with him. But we should probably briefly chat about him now that you've mentioned him, John. I mean, Stevie, he was excellent yesterday once again. I mean, if you look at what you want your Celtic striker to be, it's Giakoumakis. You know, just works hard, physical, poaching instinct. I mean, those goals he scored yesterday, the first two, are both brilliant headers. The second one's great as well, actually. I had a bit of a go at Ewan yesterday in the video because he singled out that goal as being his favourite, and I thought that was a daft comment. But when I watched it back, it's brilliant the way he kind of gets himself back and heads it right into the corner.
As and he really shut a lot of people up through. I think when you look at that penalty miss as well against Livingston, I don't want to keep harping back to mistakes of the past, but a lot of people seem to make up their mind then. You have people saying that could be a defining moment in that, but like, a lot of people didn't see it as, you know, he could have been spurred on by that and wanting to make amends. People didn't see that side of it. It was almost that it was going to go downhill and things were just going to get so much worse and worse for him. And I think, was there not an article in January by somebody in the media who was actually saying that they were tipping Gigi for an exit for Celtic Part 2?
Wouldn't surprise me.
I mean,
I've got it somewhere, and I will show you guys. I'm not making it up, like a certain journalist we know.
When news is slow, people write all sorts of crazy things. I think with Giakoumakis is interesting when you, like, if you look at him and compare him to Albin Ayeti, for example. Now, I don't want to dig on Ayeti too much because he's had his injuries problems too. But Giakoumakis feels like he's battled back from his issues at Celtic, like he's overcome a bit of adversity here already, even though he's only been here for less than a year. But is Ayeti kind of hid back into himself and we've kind of not seen him? I just feel like Giakoumakis has that. He's got a bit of arrogance about him, but I like that. I mean, I think a striker should have that bit of arrogance. I think he should back himself. And when he's causing chaos in the box and elbowing defenders out of the way to score goals for Celtic, then I'm going to back him 100% of the time. It's interesting yesterday, you know, especially after they got the man sent off, we were almost playing up with two up front at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But Maeda was playing quite centrally and really pressing hard and almost being the kind of run around pressing forward rather than Giakoumakis. And, you know, then that allowed Giakoumakis to just be the poacher. It was kind of interesting the way they played together yesterday. Maeda wasn't really a winger at all. And it'll be interesting to see how that works going forward with Kyogo coming back and Maeda being fit and obviously Giakoumakis. Because you say that he's got everything that you want a Celtic striker to have. I mean, I think there is, you know, there's rough edges to his game. But if he keeps scoring, then I can't see Ange bringing him out of the team. You know, just it's as simple as that.
Also, Phil, you're talking about Maeda there, John. I think him and Gigi seems as if they've got a weird relationship going on now as well. Look at Dundee United when Maeda set up Gigi, and then yesterday for the first, but then Gigi with a wee knockdown for Maeda. The two of them seems as if they have got a good relationship on the park. You start playing them more together as well, and they've built up a relationship to the point that getting into the next game, it's just so important, and the two of them could cause Rangers massive problems, especially when there'll be a lot of, sort of people looking at them with Kyogo out. They'll be looking at them to make the difference, and there's every chance they could if the two of them now on the pitch have got a wee bit of belief together.
I think you go with that same front three for Ibrox again. I don't think you can change that given how, you know, that relationship you talk about. We speak about Giakoumakis having that poaching instinct, but Maeda has it as well, big time. I mean, he scored, I think, 5 goals now. Giakoumakis has 12, 17 between those two. First half of the season, in terms of goals, you would have looked at Kyogo, Abada, Jota as being the kind of three. Second half of the season since Christmas, it's kind of been Maeda and Giakoumakis that they've not carried the team, because there's obviously been far more happening in, you know, the midfield, defence, etc. But in terms of goals, those are the guys, and both of them were, you know, Maeda was a January signing, Giakoumakis didn't properly start playing until January. So I think, you know, the options in this Celtic team, everyone says it, but when everyone's fit, you wonder how Ange is going to be able to, you know, fit all these guys in, because the options we have are just incredible. And Maeda yesterday was just brilliant. His work rate all the way through the game, the clip that went viral of him in the 8th minute is just exceptional. His ability to keep sprinting. I saw some comments from Ange about, you know, the great thing about him is he can just keep sprinting. He doesn't get tired, this guy. I remember all the stat going about in the J-League where the most sprints in a match and like 8 out of the top 10 were Maeda, and we're seeing it now. I honestly thought he was unbelievable yesterday. But the whole team was. That was the thing about yesterday. You go through that whole team. Hatate was just playing like... He was playing like... This is a horrendous comparison. Playing like Prime and Cham. Like in Cham at his best yesterday in Hatate. But the difference is, that sounded horrendous. The difference is Hatate will be able to keep that up and play consistency. But he was just incredible. I just think Matt O'Reilly's exceptional. I think he's otherworldly in terms of his talent. McGregor was good. Jota he's back to his best over the last couple of games. And obviously the defence was good as well. Juranovic, Taylor, pretty good on the wings. We'll bring in Ange now while I go into a wee quiet corner and think about what I've just said. This is Ange's thoughts on the 4-0 win yesterday.
All round, I thought we were really good. You know, we started the game really brightly. I thought our football was really good today. You know, last couple of weeks, we've had a couple of tough away trips where we're still dominant, but in a different way. We just, you know, we were really strong defensively today. You know, we kind of spoke about it. We get an opportunity on our pitch to, you know, be more aggressive with the ball. And I thought we were. I thought, you know, football was really good today and kept our discipline through the whole game. We started the game, you know, with the right tempo, right intensity. You know, our sort of attacking players were really sharp in terms of their movements, and our passing was good, you know. Again, playing at home allows you a little bit more to do that than, you know, the last couple of games on the surfaces we've played. We haven't been able to, but being dominant in a different way, it was just pleasing for me that you know, our football is really good.
Another hat trick for Jonas as well. You'll be pleased with the return you're getting from him at the moment.
Yeah, he's doing really well, but yeah, he'll be the first to tell you he's benefiting from, you know, the work of others. You know, he's putting himself in the right areas, but yeah, whole team's sort of structured in a way where, you know, all our attacking players can get the rewards, but he does put in, you know, invests in terms of working hard for the team. Defensively, I thought him and Dazen were outstanding again with their press today, and Jota was really good with the ball. So, you know, our front three, you know, they get opportunities to score or assist, but they also know that they have to work hard for that, and you know, that's why they're getting the rewards.
How's Tom Rodgick?
Yeah, he's not too bad. His ankle was a bit sore. I only saw him at half time briefly, and yeah, I didn't feel it was hopefully too bad for him. He's obviously got to go away with national team, so important, you know, important member of the Australian team. So I haven't seen him after the game, but hopefully it's not too bad. It's very easy to sort of succumb to anxiety at this time of the year when, you know, when the stakes are so high, and you know, it's important we keep playing our football, not sort of shy away from that, and that's why today was important. It wasn't just about winning the game. I thought it was really important that we, you know, sort of made a statement in terms of playing our football as well, you know, that when the opportunity's there for us against a side who's been in great form, that, you know, we weren't going to start the game sort of warily. We were going to go into it, you know, determined to sort of set the tempo and set the sort of pace for the game.
And in your book, you talk about the intoxicating feeling when everyone at the club's pulling in the same direction. Do you feel that at the moment? Do you feel as if the team are kind of laser focused on what's to come?
Look, I felt that, you know, for a while. There was no other way we were, you know, going to sort of embark on this sort of run we've been on any other way, because, you know, the starting point was, you know, fairly low start in terms of the way we started our season. So for us to kind of be in this position now with, you know, the last break to happen, means we've all had to be sort of pulling in the same direction and making sure that, you know, every day we're kind of, we're all sort of, you know, as I say, singing from the same hymn sheet, you know. We couldn't have people sort of going off in their own direction or doubting what we were going to do, and credit to the players and the staff, to be fair, that, you know, after the start we had, that, you know, they're willing to go all in on sort of the kind of team we wanted to be. And so that's been happening for quite a while, and it needs to continue to happen, because as we get to the most important part of the season, again, there'll be, you know, plenty of forces trying to pull that apart. We've just got to stay really strong in our resilience and our commitment to what we've started to do.
Can I just ask you about the fans as well? The atmosphere today was amazing. I think over in the North Cub, everyone had their shirts off as well.
Yeah, you guys are crazy, mate. 15 degrees, 15 degrees and your shirts are off. Yeah, no, it was great. And again, I spoke about that before the game. I had a feeling our supporters would be up for it today, and it was important not just to win, but to put on a performance. I really felt that was, for a number of reasons, going to be important today for the whole club. So credit again to the players that they embraced that challenge. And like I said, it was a difficult game, you know, in terms of approaching it, because, you know, you're facing an opponent who's in good form and can cause you problems. And, you know, the last thing I wanted, like I said, was us to sort of shy away from the challenge and just try and get a result. You know, we set our stall today to put in a strong performance. I thought we did.
How would you describe it? The shape, the team are in for the Rangers game now?
Oh, look, we're in good shape. But, you know, again, there's still 2 weeks for that. We've got guys away, like I said, with other guys we're going to do some work with. So until we get everyone back, we won't know. But at the moment, our squad's in the best place it's been all year. You know, I've said during the week that our training's been really good, really high standard, because it's so competitive. We had guys who didn't even make the squad today who, you know, have been training really well, and you know, unlucky not to be part of it. So, yeah, if we can get through this international break and on the other side with everyone fit and available, I think we'll be in good shape. Not just because, you know, after break there isn't just one game. There's still a series of games, and we've got to be ready for every one of them.
And just a title race that all eyes turn to Dens Park tomorrow. Are you the kind of guy that will watch that game? Will you especially tune into that, or do you ignore it?
No, my Sundays are dictated by my wife and kids, mate. So, depending. There's a, you know, if Sing 2 is on TV or something, I'll have to fight for the remote control. Look, it's not that, I get why people are all sort of you know, focusing on that. And I get why I get the questions, and I don't know, maybe I should just say yes, and that way people will stop asking it. But I don't worry about things I can't control. You know, what we could control was today. Yeah. If we got 3 points today, why would we even bother about looking at anything else? If we get 3 points in the next game, why would we bother about looking at it? You know, I think, you know, as I said before, to the question, we've had to be really focused, because if we started thinking like that now, we would have been thinking like that at the start and looking at other results when we were, you know, on 6 points and in seventh position or sixth position after a few games. And that's where I think you get caught up in things, like I said, you can't control. So, yeah, we've done our bit this round. We're done. Like I said, I'll spend my Sunday with my family, and when we get back in and ready to go again, we'll tackle the next game, try and get 3 points. And we know if we get 3 points, we're going to be in the same position we are today.
So he was in good form yesterday, Ange, wasn't he? As the kind of Ange correspondent, John, were there any lines that caught your fancy there?
Well, I was just wondering if you got a sticker for saying you read his book. That was all. No, in all seriousness, it was another. He was in good form. You know, the line about Singh too was obviously good. I mean, Ange's quotes at the box office, they go viral on social media. They go around Google. They go around the blog sites, the articles. I'm sure the media love them. He's always good value for a quote, even when he gets a dodgy question. So I'm everything he said there is absolutely spot on. Like, that's what I want to hear from the Celtic manager at this stage of the season. I want to hear the squad's in good shape. I want to hear that they've got focused plans for the international break. I want to hear that he's looking to please the supporters because he knows what it means. You know, I think he knew this week there was a lot of people talking positively about Rangers, you know, for good reason, that they're doing well in Europe, etc. But it was dominated by Rangers the whole week. And I think he knew that the fans were looking for a big, strong performance yesterday. And he said that there. And I'm delighted that he's got that kind of thinking in him. He's got that kind of connection with the Celtic supporters and with the city. I think, you know, for all the talk about Neil Lennon knows the city, like, Ange Postecoglou gets the city because Glasgow's a football city and the beating heart is football, and he knows football inside out. And it's fantastic to hear him have that connection with the supporters.
Yeah, he was in good form yesterday. Stevie, anything that sprung out for you?
Yeah, I think I was really confident about Ange and the team for this international break now, because I know that as Celtic fans, when we run into, when we've had, you know, momentum building up for good results, and then the international break comes, it's almost a collective groan, will it? And it kills it stone dead. But I don't think that's going to happen with this Celtic team, Ange. And I think it's because if you look at what happened in October, remember, we finally won ugly at Pittodrie, and then Ange got that time with the players who weren't on international duty. We came back against Motherwell at Fir Park. Everyone, you know, Motherwell were in decent form. I think they were maybe third or fourth at the time. People were saying, oh, that Celtic team are going to be in bother there. Totally bossed it. We looked far confident. We looked far fitter. We were just so much more impressive than Motherwell. Superior in every aspect of the pitch. And then you go back to the January break. It was cold early. And of course, we were just getting over the line. We were, again, winning ugly. But, you know, it was like a 3-week layoff. And the football we played after that, when that first half against Hibs, we were flying. And you can tell as well that the manager really does get sort of hands-on with the players there in that training pitch, and he knows what we've got to work on, and the players themselves know what they've got to improve on. And I'm very confident that after this one for the Rangers game, that Ange is going to work with the players that aren't away and basically improve them as much as possible for that game. But Ange has always said, get ready for players to basically take the moment, take your chance, and have them all be ready. It doesn't matter if it's your guaranteed first team players, or the ones that are on the bench. He's always going to want every player there ready to play their role. And for the players that are maybe on the fringe and just on the outskirts of the team, he'll have them sort of up to match for sharpness as well, ready to go. I'm very confident that after this break, Ange and the team are going to have enough. They're just going to be focusing on fully on Ibrox, and then it'll be the next game after that that will take care of itself. But nah, when the international break question get posed, I liked what I heard for that one, and I liked the fact that the manager doesn't see it as time off for a break. He just sees it as more hard work to put in, which is exactly what you hear for the manager.
Yeah. I mean, he also said that it wasn't there, but there was another little snippet where he says that they're arranging a bounce game for some of the fringe players over the break, which you would imagine is like for Turnbull, Julien, perhaps Kyogo, who has written a column in the Japanese newspaper this weekend saying that he thinks he's going to be back soon and he's feeling good. So
is he wanting Hugh Keevan's job?
I think that's what, yeah. If it's not me, it'll be Kyogo. The international break's an opportunity. It was interesting, he said as well, I think it was in his BBC interview, he kind of touched it in his presser as well, but in his BBC interview he said that the international's break is good for the players going away as well because it refreshes their thinking. Because I don't think he wants his players to get stuck into kind of like a day-to-day, you know, drudge almost. I think he likes players going away and coming back and going away and, you know, experiencing good times with the national team or experiencing bad times, you know, and kind of coming back to Celtic and valuing it. A bit like when your missus goes away for a weekend and you get the house to yourself. something like that. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, just absence makes the heart grow fonder, so to speak. You know what I mean?
I was going to say it's a bit like the channel, how we try and, you know, different content. You know, one week we have Jackie in, the next week it's Scott McDonald. We don't like to keep it too samey because then it becomes a bit of a chore. A wee bit like that?
A wee bit, yeah, well, exactly. But, you know, but the point is that Ange has plans for every single player in the squad. Like, he's going to give some players a rest. He's happy for the players that are going away, and the players that need more training work are going to get more work put into them ahead of this Rangers game. And I've got a sneaking suspicion that this bounce game he talked about is for Kyogo's benefit. And so we'll need to keep an eye on that over the next 2 weeks.
Interesting. John, you've been one of the most positive people over the last couple of weeks. I think you're pretty convinced, without putting words into your mouth, that Celtic are going to do the business and win this league. You're full of belief and you believe in Ange. Mazar is very much of the same opinion. He's been DMing me on Twitter and he agrees with you a lot. And he's commented just earlier on to say, the atmosphere was incredible yesterday, as was the football, especially in the first half. I honestly can't fathom the turnaround that Ange has achieved thus far in his tenure. Also, GG, what a man he is. And the first comment we actually got in the stream way back at 6 o'clock from Dave McDonald, having pints in Minnesota and still buzzing about Celtic's form on Saturday. They are charged up and organised, really impressive in all levels. April will be a grand month of football. Guys, the atmosphere yesterday was brilliant. I mean, I know we've got all the, you know, the patter about the tops coming off and all of that stuff, but in the standing section and I dare say around the whole stadium, it was a bit like a party yesterday. I know the weather is probably responsible for a lot of that. Celtic scoring 4 goals and being 3-0 up, you know, after half an hour or whatever it was, is responsible for that as well. But there was just a really good feeling inside the stadium yesterday. It's the most I've enjoyed a Saturday 3 p.m. game in a long, long time. And it just got me thinking, if it was like that yesterday, how amazing is it going to be if we actually win this league and are celebrating a title in May, Stevie? You'll be crying.
I possibly will. Don't get me on the channel, please, if we do the business. Because I've been thinking about how much it does mean to... I don't want to sound selfish because I know we're all massive fans and everyone watching us too. But just for myself personally, because I know that I can obviously come across like quite as a bit of an overthinker, but it doesn't take away from how much I love this club and I've grew up in this club. The way that I can relate to that manager and those players, and now the bond between the players and the fans is a big thing. That's why there's such a big atmosphere. I mean, I'm personally now not going to Celtic Park sort of moaning or groaning now. I'm looking forward to every game. I'm looking forward to sort of cheering in. It's going to sound cheesy, but I'm looking forward to cheering out and shouting the surnames and all that. And the players now, I'm looking forward to like when the manager's announced it before the game, I applaud that. It's the most, I'm probably more on board with Celtic now than what, you know, I have been in the last sort of 5 and 6 years, and it's simply because of the bond between the managers, the players and the fans. It's back to the way that I've always loved it. It's back to the way that it always should be. I mean, you guys have known me for a long time, probably too long unfortunately, but you know what I can be like, and I truly hope sort of this is the way it's going to be under Ange for years to come. It's I think a lot of the bond is just down to the manager and down to the fact that he's been so honest and upfront with all the fans for day one. He's got the players in, he's also asked for time, we've given that time, and look how he's responded. He's got us to the top of the league when it seemed like an impossible task way back in July and August. And honestly, man, if we do win the league, then Hamish, if, or John, if you do make the call to say, right, let's do a reaction, I'm going to have to kindly decline because I will embarrass myself on here. And that's with the greatest of respect.
That's what people want.
Do they really? I don't know. I don't know if
they want that, everyone.
I don't want to see if they want to see a man in his 30s busting into tears. So let's hear what John thinks if we do that. Away from me, please.
Listen, yeah, I'm not going to break out my end of season speech or anything. I do as excited as I am. No, I do still think it's difficult. Like, it's so difficult at the moment to talk about Celtic because if you speak about the challenges ahead, you know, half the comment section is about how you've been too negative. If you get excited about Celtic, half the comment section is saying you're speaking too quickly. We've not won anything yet. It's really hard balance to get. So, but I genuinely am excited, but understand that it's going to be so difficult. Like, this game at Ibrox coming up is a difficult game. Like, Rangers are a quarter finalist in the Europa League. Like, this is a good level team. They have just beaten Borussia Dortmund and Red Star Belgrade. We've not got any Celtic fans at Ibrox. And I know we did them at Celtic Park last time, but it's a different proposition this time. And I just don't, what I don't want is for us to lose against Rangers and everyone is just spitting the dummy again, because it doesn't work like that. I mean, my whole point, and this is what I was saying at the start of the show, is that we're in a strong position coming out of Ibrox, regardless of what happens there in a couple of weeks. And that's why I'm relaxed right now. But I do still think there's a lot of challenges ahead. And it's good that the team and the manager aren't getting ahead of themselves. But I agree with Stevie. I mean, this title win would be huge. It would just be huge.
Yeah.
Everyone's so excited right now. I have known Stevie a long time. And I would say that he's been more engaged in Celtic this year than I've ever seen him. And I'm the same. I feel that way too.
I'm the same as well.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like a special season. We all love the manager. We all know where we came from. We had to sit through 2 years of a pandemic. We had to sit through a garbage Celtic season. It was miserable. And it's good to just be able to feel good about everything again. And it's amazing that we've managed to come across a manager like Postecoglou, who strikes the right tone every time he speaks. And that's all adding to it. But come the end of the season, if we win the title, yeah, well, maybe we'll be crying on YouTube. And that might be embarrassing. But you know what? That's part of it. You know, tears are part of it. I've cried at Celtic before. Everyone cries. Get Stevie on the live channel for a wee greet.
I love the sound of that. I echo, you know, what you guys are saying. I've supported Celtic for virtually all of my life, and, you know, mainly good moments in my life. There's been, you know, a few bad ones as well, but I've been really fortunate. This season is probably, you know, I don't know if it's, I dare say doing the channel obviously helps, and, you know, living and breathing Celtic every day of my life as I do on the channel. But it feels like kind of as much as I've ever been into Celtic this season. There's just something about it. I can't even quite put my finger on it. Ange is a massive part. The players he's signed are a massive part. The fact that we're all just still, I think we've still got the buzz of being back at the football. I still feel like that after last season that's there. You know, I've loved everything about this season so far. You know, even the dire defeats, they kind of make where we're at the moment feel so much better. And it's going to sting a hell of a lot if we don't win the league. It's going to feel amazing if we do. And yeah, as you say, John, we don't know what way it's going to go. And I think, you know, if it was really easy, the joy we'd feel at winning it would be nowhere near what we will feel, hopefully, if we do manage to get over the line. Because you're right, Rangers are a decent side. That this isn't, you know, the Rangers side that we've seen in kind of previous years. This is probably as good a side as they've had for a while. They're showing that domestically. But I have full belief in this Celtic team to get over the line. Even, you know, if we lose at Ibrox, I think, you know, let's not kind of imagine how we'd feel. I think it's always hard to tell until it happens, and hopefully it doesn't. But even if defeat does come, we're still in a strong position. We've still got that kind of banker of them coming to Celtic Park at the end of the season. It would be tough to beat them, but I would back Celtic to do it big time there. Their fixtures after the split are also going to be more difficult than ours. So we're in a good position, but there's a way to go. It's just a shame we need to put up with this daft fortnight of nothing. Someone was asking about a Q&A. We might do that at some stage. We're going to have, I think, a few live shows on as well. But yesterday was amazing. We've got a couple of wee new Celtic songs yesterday as well. I thought I would give you the lyrics for them. Rio Hatate. This has been going for a few weeks now. This, I believe, is to the tune of Scooter's Weekend. I'm not singing it before anyone asks, but if you know how that song goes, get it in your Spotify or whatever and work those lyrics into it. And obviously, the big Greek god has to have a tune as well. That's to a far more familiar tune, Nena's 99 Red Balloons, or Luftballons, I believe it is. I think if you kind of look at those words and think of that song, you'll be able to put that in. So you got a favourite there, guys, out of those two?
I don't know. I need to hear them properly. I did. I mean, some of the, you know, the scooter thing is not just not my bag. I'll just say right. that. And there's been a few scooter ones over the years. Just not my thing.
I'm going to be the opposite of John. I do love a good BAM tune. So scooter, I'm fully on board with. The GG one, I think we can probably do better. But look, I'm not the guy writing the song. Somebody's went to the effort to do that. So who am I to criticise someone? Yeah.
You know, I couldn't write a song. I couldn't start a song at Celtic Park. So
I could write a few, but in terms of starting them, nobody would jump on board with me.
The Hatati one's an absolute classic, lads. Like, that's going to be rocking at the end of the season. That's a belter. We'll leave it there, lads, because we've kind of spoken about everything we can. As I say, the next couple of weeks, you know, it's going to be a little bit more difficult with no Celtic, but we've got loads of content planned on the channel to get through it. We're going to try and keep things as varied as possible. So stick with us. If you're new, don't forget to give us a wee sub as we go for 27,000. We can't be too far off that at this stage. Stevie, John, thanks very much. Stevie, enjoy the remaining hours of your birthday. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll speak to you tomorrow.